Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 30 minutes, we'll talk to Jay Gruden live right here on Grant and Danny. And in 1 hour, we'll have the press conferences from Ashburn of general manager Adam Peters, head coach Dan Quinn, as they get ready for offseason number 1 in the wake of turning this program around, getting to an NFC championship game. They come up just short of the Super Bowl, but didn't feel like they were that close after giving up 55 yesterday.
Yeah, they're definitely the fourth out of the four teams that was remaining. Something that I would have signed up for sight unseen, by the way, almost at any point. You know what I mean? Like,
you kidding me?
Going through until maybe the end of last weekend. But yeah, pretty remarkable.
Show brought to you by our friends, the law firm, Condori and Murat.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murat, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
All right, let's get to the Beltway Blitz covering football. We start off with Mike Jones of The Athletic. Jonesy, before we talk AFC Championship game, it was good seeing your smiling face in Philly yesterday. I mean, damn, the Eagles are loaded, dude. The talent they have, that team is going to be a tough out for Kansas City.
Yeah, they really are. And when you look at them, they've just got talent at every line. Their offensive line is stacked. Their defensive line is stacked. They've got talented young guys in their secondary. They got game changers at wide receiver. And they've got Saquon Barkley. And they've got Jalen Hurts, who doesn't get enough credit for what he does because, you know, of what they ask him to do. They just are really, really talented across the board. Everybody understands their roles. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be a really intriguing game. It's going to be a great chess match between these coaches. But, you know, I think Philly is going to be able to go toe-to-toe with them just like they did last time.
How much should, you know, well, let me phrase it this way, Mike. The amount of negativity that always seems to be swirling around them as they've won, 16 out of 17 games. Just, it's so strange to me that everybody always sort of counts them out, or this is the source of discord, or this is the book A.J. Brown is reading, or this is what Nick Sirianni said, or this is who's irritated. They're just a buzzsaw. They're really, really good, as you mentioned, talented at every level, and it always seems that there's a little something around swirling around them, but all they do is win a lot of football games, and some of them they win convincingly.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni talked about that yesterday, especially about Jalen Hurts. He's like, I don't understand. All the dude does is win, and he doesn't worry about stats. He's the most selfless quarterback that there is, and he's got so much scrutiny, so much criticism, so many doubts. The Philadelphia media is just kind of, you know, cynical like that, and the fan base is kind of like that as well, where they love them, but they're also, it's never good enough. It's odd, but yeah, they've won, like you said, I think 15 out of 16. They're here in the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. They are better than what they were. They're well-constructed. everybody's bought in. This team should receive way more credit than what it receives. And, you know, I think, but, you know, when you talk to teams around the league, everybody's got a lot of respect for them. It's just Philly media, Eagle fan base, it's not quite good enough until they win a Super Bowl.
Speaking of winning Super Bowls, the Chiefs are on for a three-peat now. They've gotten to the Super Bowl in 5 of 6 years. They've been in the AFC title game 7 straight years. What can you say about Mahomes, Reed, and that operation?
They just always find a way to get it done. They're very similarly where everybody understands their role, and we saw Mahomes just kick it to another level. I mean, he has not, you know, tucked the ball and ran nearly as many times. I think normally it was about maybe 5-6 times a game, and yesterday was like 11 times. I mean, he was just in, you know, go mode, almost Jordan-esque the way he was taking over that game. And, you know, I know they get a whole bunch of this, all this belly aching about if their calls going their way and everything like that, and they don't get as many penalties called on them. Well, they're a really good team. They execute well, and they don't hurt themselves with a lot of penalties. They don't put themselves in bad situations. And so that's a big reason why they have pulled out these close one-score games. I think it's 17 straight now, and it's really hard to bet against them as well.
I saw this crazy stat last night. There have been 4 playoff games all time where 2 quarterbacks combine for 400 passing, 80 rushing, 65% complete, 3 or more 25-yard completions, 5 total touchdowns, and no more than a turnover. And all 4 of those games are Allen and Mahomes. I don't know what else Josh Allen can do. I mean, he made a ridiculous play to give Kincaid a chance. He drops the football, no turnovers, 3 touchdowns. I think there's only been like 4 losses like that ever, and 2 or 3 of them are Allen against the Chiefs in the playoffs. Like, what else can the guy do?
Yeah, there's not much more he can do. I felt like their play calling in the second half got a little conservative. They had the one, you know, shot to Hollins that was an amazing catch that gave them a good chunk of yardage in the second half. But I felt like they kind of got a little tight, a little scared in the play calling. We knew that their defense, you know, was a liability at times, but look, they've got some talented running backs. I didn't understand, you know, the repeated going for the push. They don't know how to execute it the way the Eagles do. They don't have Allen going in low and driving behind the center like Jalen Hurts does. Allen is tall and he's a big target and he steps back and everybody knows he likes going to his left. They don't execute it well. Give it to your running backs if you're going to go for it. Those guys, James Cook was really having a great game. So they had some miscalculations on the coaching, but Josh Allen did everything that he possibly could. And he's going to get a Super Bowl. It's going to happen. You think about Peyton Manning. It took him a while. It stinks for Josh Allen that he's in the same generation as Patrick Mahomes. It's kind of like, you know, all the guys who didn't win NBA championships because of Michael Jordan. But, you know, just like Peyton Manning, Drew Brees got their Super Bowls, even though Tom Brady was around, it'll be possible for Josh Allen to finally get a ring, just not this year.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy.
I'll see you guys.
See you, man. Yeah, I had that same comp. That's, you know, Josh Allen's like the Karl Malone or Charles Barkley of the NFL, just at the wrong time. Let's talk about the Local 53, please. I'm afraid that name is here for good, unfortunately, but we'll talk about that at another place in time. Our guy Chris Russell joins us in studio, fresh off his podcast from the Deuce, hanging out with us, buddy.
What'd you make of a podcast, if I must say so?
Tens
myself.
Of people. What did you make of the environment yesterday?
I thought it was pretty much Philadelphia, like what it normally is. I don't think the atmosphere there is as crazy, as ridiculous, as difficult, as nasty as it was. The one thing I noticed was pregame, when the team broke up, you know, from their pregame huddle, the final one, Jaden Daniels went over to hug his mom, and the 4 or 5 others, Terry McLaurin and whatever, I got it on video, and they just started booing them. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, boo something legitimate. Don't boo a guy going over to hug his mama.
And they're the opposing team.
I know, but
they're going to get booed.
That's what a bunch of dumb Eagles fans said to me when I said that. I mean, like, I get it. Can we boo something legit instead of booing somebody going over to hug his mom?
No, they're going to boo the opposing team the whole time.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Because that's what fans do in Philadelphia, and just generally speaking. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you. I don't think it's that crazy of an environment there.
I
really
it's awesome. I think it's
passionate.
Over,
yeah.
I looked over at George Wallace of WTOP, who was sitting next to us a couple of times, and at the same time, we were kind of like, this is great. Like, their in-game presentation, the towel-waving Rocky theme right before kickoff when everyone was going nuts, that was the best environment I'd been in all season.
I've seen that before. I thought it was crazier and more chaotic in
championship.
I thought it was crazier in Detroit, but
I'm sure it was. I think Detroit indoors is probably the loudest that they. Yeah. But I don't think comparing indoors and outdoors.
That's fair.
Necessarily fair.
That's fair.
First of all, thanks for taking me to the game. Russell was kind enough to come pick me up.
Yeah, it's a long story, Danny.
He picked me up at 10th. Well, our 10:30 meetup was at 11:15. Because he ended up in Camden, New Jersey.
I love this so much.
You realize that
is that
Philly,
off-brand or
Philly is a different state than Camden, New Jersey.
Danny, it was a disaster. A, listening to my GPS.
When he showed up to get me, I opened the door. He had one of those flight pillows that you wear around your neck.
The neck pillow?
Just sitting in his car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do you do that? He's like, for my stress.
Danny, have you ever driven around like downtown Philadelphia?
Yes, I have.
Not the stadium complex.
No, I have,
that's
yeah.
easy.
Mm-hmm.
That city sucks.
It does.
I'm sorry. I love that city.
I don't.
Let me just repeat. That city sucks.
It does.
It's awful. So anyway, that's how I wound up in Camden, New Jersey.
A great place.
Bigger reason why they lost. Three fumbles. Defense was terrible.
I think yesterday the bigger issue was the defense was terrible. I could be wrong. I only remember one 3-and-out when the game was relevant.
The three turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, the turnovers actually was four turnovers, but one was late. Sure, they were all awful, especially the McNichols kickoff, because you went from being down 20-12. I literally texted or tweeted or whatever. Hey, for everything that has gone wrong in this first half, and a lot went wrong, right? I think we can all agree, you're down 20-12 and you still have
getting
the ball
the
with
football
a buck 40 left.
Yeah.
And
you either tie it there, you're going down a point.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe you go in down five.
And then, you know, obviously, listen, I know what the final score is. I got it. I don't pay much attention to that. Those extra last two touchdowns, the game was well over. It was, you know, the Eckler fumble and the not clear recovery, except for the guy that they didn't give the clear recovery to, was a major problem. And then the tush push, which followed that whole sequence, was a disaster. The bottom line is I don't know what you guys have been talking about. Like, I think they were in that game for three-ish quarters. They weren't the better team by any quarter in any way, but I don't think it was blowout central from the start.
What's their biggest need to be able to compete in a game like that?
I think they need to get better and more stouter on the offensive line, probably at left guard, if I would say that.
O-line over D-line is in terms of their bigger priority.
I think so, because A, you want to obviously protect Jaden. One, two, you want to run the ball better. They, you know, as we know, outside of one game against Detroit, they were not good running the ball down the stretch. Even Jaden didn't, I mean, with the exception of the touchdown run, he wasn't exactly a huge factor in these three playoff games running it. But to me, I think that's a huge factor. Defensive line, of course, they need a lot of help. They need somebody to set the edge. They need to figure out the Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne thing. Who knows how that's going to be.
Over under 1.5 of Allen Payne back next year.
I would say under.
I'd
say one of the two is gone. And
well,
Allen's
got no guaranteed money.
I know, but he's the better player.
I agree. I think you got to try to trade Payne.
I agree. But to who and for what? A bag of donuts?
I'm not sure. Hey, by the way, I ate dinner with Reenie on Saturday night in Philly with our buddy Michael Phillips, who joins us now on the Beltway Blitz for a little tag team operation.
Oh,
Russell picked out a restaurant for us that didn't give us butter with our bread. They just refused to.
Bean puree.
They gave like some paste hummus stuff with our bread. And then, Phillips, we ordered pepperoni pizza. They refused to give us pepperoni. So when we asked for pepperoni after the fact, they brought out like sliced kielbasa or something.
I will just say this. I've been to that restaurant 7 or 8 times, but I had not been there in 9 years.
Rini swore it
was,
by it.
It was disappointing. I will just say that. It used to be awesome.
Well, when I was living in New York and you guys would come up and visit, like, you know, on the way up there, it was like, we got to go to this place in Times Square. So I know right away where his
recommendations lie. Rini really wanted to go to Sbarro or something.
I'm sorry, boys. I'm sorry for letting you down.
It's okay.
We went to Charlie's Original Philly Cheesesteak. It was in a mall kiosk. Very authentic. Very good.
Indeed. Philly, Danny just asked the question to Russell. I want to see what you think. What is the number one thing they've got to do, try to spike in terms of production so that they can compete in this game a year from now?
O-line depth. The better your O-line is, the better the run game will be, the more protected Jaden Daniels is. Look at the Eagles, man. They went through 2 centers in that game. They're still rolling. They just tag team guys in and out. They were still holding this defensive line at bay. I am a big believer in building through the trenches. You got the cap space to do it. I want to do everything possible to protect my rookie quarterback.
I am not loving the Marshawn Lattimore experience. I'm willing to offer the you know, potential sort of out here or the sliver that, hey, maybe it's a hamstring. Maybe he's not quite healthy and he's sort of working his way back. I don't know. To me, it looks like a guy that's physical in the line of scrimmage that can't really run. Maybe that's what we're getting. A lot of personal feuds, a lot of shoving, a lot of fighting, a lot less covering. Where are we at on Lattimore going forward?
And those guys that win with their mouth, you know, and jawing with everybody, sometimes it doesn't age gracefully. Sometimes that's a hard out from the league for them. I'd rather not be a part of that personally. I get the Adam Peters side. This is as good a contract for you're going to do for as good a player as you're going to do. If you want to bring him to training camp, that doesn't bother me. Bring him to training camp, see what he's got on a fresh hamstring. But I tend to think we're past the expiration date here. I get the contractual reasons why you'd want to bring him back, but I would be very, very cautious about expecting anything moving forward.
Yeah, I think they got to make the decision, frankly, before camp, because it's not like a let's take a look at him and kick the tires. There's 2 years and $36 million left, or you can get out of it early this offseason for nothing. So they got to make that call well before, you know, they look at how he's running around in Ashburn. I hear you and my guy, Rini. We're getting into it a little bit at halftime over Jaden Daniels' performance. So Russell thinks he was just okay.
No.
To good.
I said he was fine.
Yeah, fine is okay.
At halftime.
Right.
Fine.
And Phillips thought he was Patrick Mahomes 2.0.
Yes, correct.
Right? Do I have the Cliff Notes right on this?
I love that he immediately jumps into the argument by explaining that okay and fine are different terms. Like this man is just ready for verbal combat at all times. It's like Heath Ledger in that movie. Like, he will joust anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Totally. I think, you know, don't you dare say that I say he was just okay. I thought he was fine. No, I'm kidding. I thought he was solid. He was certainly
fine.
He was certainly not the problem in any way.
Fine.
But I also don't think he was nearly as good as he was in the two previous games in terms of, like, willing them to a win. Also, that he was handcuffed. At one point, it was a 2-point game. He didn't get back on the field again until it was a 15-point game.
I'm prepared to play the role that Chris Russell usually plays of, you know, person in the village who gets yelled at for having an extreme opinion. I thought he was good to very good in that first half. He converted 2 fourth downs on that first drive, wasn't given the chance at the third, made some nice throws, kept some drives alive. Everything bad that happened was not his fault at all. I got a couple demerits on the scorecard here. There was one he should have thrown away instead of taking a sack. There was another throw where he missed an opportunity to put a guy in motion. But I thought we saw a lot of the things we've seen all season. I thought we saw a guy who was really poised under a lot of pressure. And at 14-12, you know, going for the 2-point conversion, you say, okay, this offense is humming again. This offense is ready to throw a punch. And then the next time number 5 touches the ball, the score is all of a sudden 27-12. None of that is his fault. He was put in some bad situations. I don't think the numbers reflect how good Jaden Daniels was yesterday.
We're talking 9 catches for 121 yards. I think I got those numbers right. Over 3 games for Terry McLaurin against Philadelphia. At some point, one game turning into 3 games, it's no longer just a one-off. It's now kind of a trend. Why are they so good at slowing him down?
Well, this is what you do when you're an elite-level team. You draft to with an eye towards winning these games, right? You think about the Buffalo Bills, like everything they do all offseason is consumed with how do we beat the Chiefs. The Eagles look every offseason at how do we make sure we win the NFC East? And the answer was, we're not shutting down Terry McLaurin. He's been great against this team every year. Boom. Enter a couple fantastic young corners, you know, Quinion Mitchell coming and Cooper DeJean coming, and all of a sudden, okay, this is a radically remade secondary, and it's not just for Terry. You know, the Cowboys have good receivers too, and the Giants have a brilliant young receiver who they're going to have to contain for the next few years. You keep your eye on the division. You keep your eye on what you have to do to stay on top. If Adam Peters would emulate anybody, obviously, you know, John Lynch does a nice job in San Francisco. But, man, I just hate how good they are in Philly at building that roster every year. That is an incredibly well-constructed roster that is designed to win these divisional games.
Michael, when you order a pepperoni pizza, what are you most looking forward to on that pizza?
Well, ideally, you know, instead of thin slicing the pepperoni, I'd like it if they thick slice it, serve it on the side in a bowl, and kind of barely cook it a little bit, but not really. That's my personal preference on the pepperoni. But I also think if I'm talking Italian restaurant ambiance, I would love it if the coat rack for the entire restaurant was right behind my seat. That would be an added benefit as well.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. This guy's walking right at me. My shoulder blades are in two different walls. I'm in the catty corner of the restaurant. Uh-huh. There's nowhere to go behind me.
Okay.
And this guy's just walking right at me. And I look up as I'm eating. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, my coat's behind you.
Is it?
And I look behind me, and sure enough, there's a coat hanging on the wall.
How did you not know that there was a coat rack right behind you? How?
Yeah, weird. I'm the crazy one.
Yeah, I mean,
that thought yeah. The coat rack behind my table was a reasonable thing. Michael, if you want all those things pepperoni-wise, I got a place for you. Just hit me up. I'll give you the details.
I with some white bean paste. I mean, white bean paste is where it's at.
Let's take a field trip up and go to this place. It sounds great.
It's the best. Just don't ask for any butter or oil, God forbid, with your bread.
This is the Italian restaurant.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Michael.
Take care, guys.
See you
all right,
buddy.
You're a sweet man. Reenie, I had a blast with you, pal. Just like the old days.
I did, too. A lot of fellowship.
Yeah, good.
A lot of fellowship.
Camaraderie. That was a brotherhood, you and I.
And sure. Now it'll never be the same.
To tell the truth Monday, I got some truths about Reenie.
I mean, Grant was all upset that it took me 8 minutes inside of Wawa last night to pee and go get coffee and get gas.
2025, the year of our Lord, who pays for their gas indoors?
Me, all the time.
I mean, that's insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in encapsulation.
You need coffee.
What else is there to say other than that? Jay Gruden joins the show next on Grant and Danny. Jay Gruden joins the show each and every Monday after games with us on Grant and Danny, normally at 5, but Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have their end-of-year press conference today, which we'll take live. So we've got Jay Gruden right now.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, 55-23 losers in Philly yesterday in the NFC Championship game. Where should we start? What went wrong?
Well, you know, it was first play of the game wasn't very good for Philadelphia's offense. That 60-yard touchdown, you know, that wasn't good. But I think the second fumble was the one where was the straw that broke the camel's back. The kickoff return. You know, still there was a fighting chance there. Then Philadelphia went down and scored. They had the ball second half, and it just got out of whack there. But the turnovers, obviously, we talk about them all the time. A couple penalties here and there, and just some uncharacteristic missed tackling.
How do you think Jaden Daniels played?
He played fine. You know, I think there wasn't a lot of help around him. The running game was really non-existent. Again, you know, I think Eckler and Robinson averaged about 2 yards a carry, and he can't do it all on his own. No, he has to have some kind of running game to help him out and take the pressure off him a little bit so he gets some plays outside the pocket. But I think he competed his ass off, and he played pretty damn good.
Yeah, looking at it, 19 carries from running backs for 51 yards. It's just major issue for them that they never really could fix down the stretch. What about their defense? I understand they're putting some bad spots with the three fumbles that turned into 21 points. Four turnovers that turned into 28. But you can't give up seven every single time a team gets a takeaway, and they did, and then they allowed 55. They didn't cover Brown. They didn't cover Smith. They didn't cover Goddard. They didn't stop Barkley. Hurts looked healthy. Like, what did they take away?
It didn't look like they took away anything, which is a problem. You know, you think if they're going to try to put all hands on deck to stop Saquon, then they might give up some passes to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or Goddard. I understand that. But at first play of the game, he went for 60, and his next carry was another touchdown. So he had two carries for 64 yards and two touchdowns, his first two carries. So I don't know. They did not play well in any phase. They didn't tackle very good. They took bad angles, and they were put in bad situations by the fumbles.
I think Philadelphia's defensive line probably isn't going to get enough credit as you sort of go back and look at this thing, but they were super disruptive. I thought that group was better than Washington's O-line. Your thoughts there?
I think going into the game, I thought both lines for Philadelphia were better than Washington's. I think the offensive line for Philadelphia is better than the defensive line for Washington, and the same goes for the defensive line for Philadelphia, better than offense. And that's always a concern. You always want to win the line of scrimmage battle. I thought Washington would have had to play a damn near perfect game, which they've done. They played damn near perfect against Tampa the second half. They played damn near perfect against Detroit. You know, and to carry that perfection over 3 weeks in a row on the road is very difficult. They just couldn't do it.
Where are you at on Marshawn Lattimore moving forward?
I don't know. He had the injuries when he first got here. You know, he's always been a competitive guy. He's always been one of the top corners in the league. I just don't know. You know, if that competitive spirit gets him into trouble too much, he's always fighting, it seems like, and hasn't made many plays for us. You know, he made a play at the goal line on the tight end. He covered the tight end, probably was pass interference. But I think he's good enough to keep in your building and try to get better then. But I don't know what the contract situation is with him, how much they're married to him. I don't know. But I know he's a good player, and he's worth moving forward with.
The way I understand it is they can get out of the contract for nothing right now, but they gave up a 3, a 4, and a 6, right? So that's unlikely. Or it's 2 years at $18 million, which if he's playing like a legitimate number one corner, that's a discount, as you know, a 2 and 36 basically remaining on that deal. But he's not playing like that. So it feels like a pretty big decision, even though I'd be stunned if he didn't come back.
Yeah, it is, especially with the depth of corner they have. They don't really have any other corners. You know, I think St. Juice has worn out his welcome. Obviously, Sanistro, really kind of like to see him move back to nickel, but he played good at corner. After that, you know, you're going to have to draft one. You have to get a free agent, whatever it might be. You'd like to use, if you can keep Lattimore in the building and he is your corner, then you can draft somewhere else, position of need, or in the first, second round.
Where are the NJ Gruden's with us here on G&D? Where do you think they're most lacking in talent? I mean, listen, the ride was unbelievable. I'm just sort of thinking about yesterday where Philadelphia's roster is just so stacked from top to bottom. Where was the most glaring deficiency for you where you go, man, Washington just doesn't have the horses?
I think defensive line, defensive ends, pass rush, number one, and then another playmaker on offense, whether it's a running back or wide receiver. You know, Terry's a great player, but there's no juice out there that can really get the big, big play. De'Ami Brown had a couple there late in the year, but they need another big play threat other than Terry McLaurin on offense and another dynamic pass rusher that can really get home with a four-man rush and end, ideally.
Yeah, I've been screaming into a megaphone since midseason about a speedy running back. You know, a home run hitter. They haven't had one here in years and years and years. As you know, I mean, especially post you being here, like Alf was kind of a, you know, 4.5 yard when it's going good, but a home run for him was like 25 yards. He was a singles and doubles guy. But, you know, someone who could strike up the band, even if you got to take that guy at number 28 overall, I think would be a godsend. What would you think about using an asset on running back?
Yeah, I think so. I think the running back position has become a little bit more needy. You look at Derrick Henry and Saquon and Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs was taken 12, I think, and everybody laughed at Detroit for taking him. And I think Detroit made the right pick there. You know, so if you get a dynamic back that can hurt you out of the backfield in the passing game and the running game like a Gibbs guy, you got to take him because these guys are hard to find. You know, these 3 yards in cloud of dust running backs, man, it's just hard to continue to commit to the run when you're not popping any big ones. And you got to pop some big ones. You got to have some home run hitters on your offense to help Jaden out.
Why do you think Philadelphia did such a good job on Terry McLaurin over these three games?
Well, they play a lot of zone, and they didn't play a whole lot of man. They play a lot of zone, and they blanket it pretty good. They have safety help over the top, and then they know where the help is. They're very well coached on defense over there with Vic Fangio. And then, you know, they get pressure, the interior pressure. It's hard for a quarterback to wait for Terry to get open in the second and third windows when Jalen Carter is running right up the middle, right at your face. He's 6 foot six. And then you get the speed rush of Nolan Smith. And so it's just very difficult for Terry to get open in a game like that. It has to be second, third window type throws. And he just, Jaden didn't have time to get there.
Speaking of throws through windows, how about the fake punt? Tress Way, your former punter. Tress, who had completed two passes in his career, I think both when you were the coach, on fake punts in 16 and 18, he went back to the well. This one was called Soda. I think your fake punt was called Puma. But this was Soda for the pop pass. What'd you think of Tress?
Tress was awesome, man. That was a good call. That was a gutsy call right there at our own 30-yard line. That was And I think Coach Quinn has done a great job all year of knowing when to take chances. And that was a great call and a great execution. Tress is a great athlete now. He can run. He can throw. He can play ping pong. He can do it all, Grant.
And thank God we found out he could play ping pong.
He's a good ping pong player.
Because Chris Russell was worried that he wasn't going to get to play ping pong in the locker room, as you know.
Yeah. He could play ping pong. I think he's damn near good enough to play in the Olympics on a ping pong team. I'm telling you, he's that good at ping pong.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
Jay, ultimately, as a guy that obviously coached here and then now is an impartial observer, I'm still like in the upset phase just because it's Philadelphia, their arrival, et cetera. I'll eventually be able to turn the page to what an unbelievable run, what a season, what a great start, this, that, and the other thing. When were you able to kind of turn the page as a coach to sort of the business at hand?
After the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a while. It's hard. It's a terrible feeling losing your last game, knowing you have no more games to play and you didn't achieve your goals. So it'll be tough on these guys. But they got to turn it over really quick. They got to start addressing their roster. They have a lot of guys on one-year contracts. They got to make sure they keep the right people. They got to get ready for the draft. They have a lot of good things going, positive things going right now. They got to maintain that positivity and do the right things in free agency and in the draft because they have a very, very bright future with this quarterback. They just got to make sure they pick the right people around them.
Would you feel comfortable if you were them rolling the three tight ends, just running it back with Ertz, who wants to return, had a big game yesterday, but I mean, he's more of an 18-wheeler than he is a coupe at this point. And then Ben Sinnott, the rookie, didn't really do anything, wasn't given much of a chance. He's the one that caught the fake punt. But that was like his play for the year, basically. And then John Bates is a blocker. But, you know, I watch Goddard. Man, it'd be nice to have a weapon at that position. It's not that I don't want to bring Ertz back. He's invaluable, but you just drafted Sinnott, who might be able to be the underneath guy, the Ertz next year. I just like to have someone who could push the ball down the seam a little bit and put pressure on a defense vertically. I don't know. Where are you at on tight end for them?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think Ertz is, if he still has some juice, I think he's worth keeping because he is a guy that can also block, and that's important. They got to make sure they keep the guys in house that can block because the running game's got to get better. There's no question about it. And those two guys are functional at blocking tight ends. So if you pick one of them, fine. Sinnott can take Bates' place possibly, and then you draft another one to develop and maybe be a threat down the middle with his legs and some speed. Yeah, we desperately need some big-time threats, speed threats, you know, other than Terry.
Jay, before we let you run, huge, obviously, evening for you last night. We know how familiar you are and how familiar we all are with your love for Samaje Perine. An unbelievable play. Fourth down. I think he had two snaps in the game, but that big one was big, Jay. How awesome was it you? How awesome was it for you? Pumping your fist, I'm sure.
Samaje Perine. Yeah, that's a good old-fashioned play. You sent three one way, all crossing routes, get the pick on the linebacker, and sneak your back out the opposite flat. And work to perfection.
Perfect.
Old reliable Samaje Perine with the game winner.
2035, we're going to be having Jay on. He's going to be talking about Mahomes to Samaje.
Samaje,
to
man.
Get to a 19th straight Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
I mean, Samaje, he's still doing it as a freaking pass catcher.
He's a closer, man. He's a closer. I'm trying to tell you guys that for many, many years.
You did. Like 7 years ago when he was playing for you, you tried to tell us.
That is true. He's Mariano Rivera. Jay, we appreciate you being flexible with us today, buddy. Thanks so much for the time, as
Thanks,
always.
Jay.
And we will chat again
you
next week.
Thank you, guys.
You got it, brother. There's Jay Gruden, longtime coach, calling plays in the NFL, and, of course, the head man here in D.C. Top of the hour, about 15 minutes from now, we got the live press conference for Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. Let's hit the phones on how you're feeling after yesterday's devastating setback next on G&D. We're going to carry the live press conference of Adam Peters and Dan Quinn coming up at the top of the hour. End of your presser. Make sure you are listening at that time. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Not enough impact plays defensively yesterday. Couple I can think of top of my head. Frankie Louvo on two third down blitzes got home. Had a sack, had a TFL. Obviously, he was heavily involved in storylines when he was jumping over the line of scrimmage and the officials said that they were going to award the Eagles points if he didn't stop being a meanie. But he gave up 55. The Eagles had maybe their best game of the season offensively. Obviously, he didn't do enough defensively. There were no takeaways.
Right.
But you need splash moments. You know, you need the flash play, and they just did not have enough of
those. They couldn't get him, man. Couldn't get him. And I thought he got held on a fourth down, that one down to sideline to A.J. Brown. Saquon Barkley was beaten there. Louvu got held, but that's going to happen a million times, you know, where you get the call, you don't get the call, et cetera. Just you needed more from the defense.
Let's go to Michael in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. What's up, Michael? How are you?
Doing good, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Good. Well, good is subjective right now. But, yeah. The points I wanted to make quickly about Lattimore on the 4th and 5, when he got beat, if you go back and watch it, he makes an unathletic move for a split second is because A.J. Brown tugs on his face mask and brings his head down very quickly. That's why he got beat on that. And coupled that with the non-holding call, I mean, it's just an embarrassing moment for the refs. The main point I wanted to make was the 4th and 3 on the first drive. I really did not like that we did not go for it. We're over 80% on that. It felt like a weird energy shift within the game. It's like we had been walking on water for the last 7 weeks, and then we get to that 4th and 3 and suddenly realize we're on water in the NFC title game, and we don't go for it. Mm. I understand that we're on the left hash mark where Zane Gonzalez likes to kick that field goal, but this is Philly. They're going to score touchdowns. Screw the ball control stuff that we were doing. I wasn't a fan of that either. We needed to go up-tempo. Why? Because Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, a.k.a. Captain Insano with the eye gouge, they get tired and they get worn out. What happened at the end of the half? They got worn out. They got tired. We blitz down, get a field goal. And he commits what Jalen Carter committed, what should have been a 15-yard penalty, which puts
the head slap.
Yeah, the head slap. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know how he didn't get flagged for that. I mean, it sounds like he had a lot of issues with the officiating. I think a lot of people do. Look, when you lose by 32, you're going to go back and go, that could have been a pet flag. That could have been a flag. I just choose not to care about that unless there's a decisive moment or calls that change the game. And I don't think that's what happened.
Yeah,
in this
game. When New Orleans doesn't go to the Super Bowl because there's an obvious pass interference against the Rams and get called, let's throw a hissy fit. I didn't think the refs were very good. I thought a bunch of calls went against Washington. They got boat raced by 32. Philly was better.
I thought most of the calls were probably correct. I think there was a case where a few things that didn't get called against Philly could have been for sure. But I'm wasting zero time on that. I think to his point, though, he said some really good things in the call, notably the 4th and 3. Went against type. He's right. The entire postseason, that's literally the textbook situation that you've gone for it on. And on that drive, you went for a 4th and 5. That was, frankly, a more ballsy decision, I thought. You went for 2 4th downs. Now you have a 4th and 3, where if you don't get it, they're taking over essentially like you just kicked off. So it's a complete nothing burger and no harm, no foul. And you don't go for that so you could take your 3-point lead. I also really disliked that. And again, I'm not upset. I'm not angry because Quinn went for 2 of those on that drive.
Right.
And he probably felt like, I mean, at some point we're not going to get one. I can't go for 3 or whatever his logic was. Let's just take the lead. Let's put pressure on them running out onto the field, down 3 points. But I'm 100% with him. You've already gone for 2 and gotten them. You've been going for this exact situation for a month now. Do it again. It got you here.
Yeah, I wonder what the logic was. Like, I don't trust Gonzalez from 46, but from 34, I trust him. I trust anybody. I wonder if that's what went into the mind. But to me, I'm with you. I went against type. I wasn't angry about it. I just kind of, I didn't get it. I did a little head scratch. I go, don't you have this in your DNA now? Isn't this like part of your, you know, your like your stamp on who you are?
Go with the one that brought you, man. What car did you ride there? Get back in that car.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Lance and Aquacon. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys, I guess there's not going to be a Friday field trip this week.
There is, actually.
We're going to field trip.
Yeah, we'll be out and about. We're going to be in Leesburg because we've got our 106.7 The Fan live event at Tally Ho Theater on Friday night. So we're going to be in Leesburg on Friday.
Now, to your question, I am disappointed. And I think that if you looked at the game on Sunday, ask yourself, which team looked hungrier at the beginning of the game? And I would say it was the Eagles. And I think there was sort of baked into the fan base, you guys, everybody was like, hey, we've had a great season. And hey, even if we, you know, lose. And in that moment, when you said, well, even if we lose, we had a great season, that's where you lose your edge.
I agree. The only thing I'd say, though, Lance, and it's a great phone call. Thank you, buddy. We got to get ready for the presser, so sorry to cut you off. The only thing I would say to that was the same narrative before the Bucs game, and that was the same
narrative before
the Lions game. And they went out and they kicked the Lions' ass by 2 touchdowns. They obviously beat the Bucs as well. So I don't think that had anything to do, because in the locker room, they weren't really feeling that way. That was kind of the outside external opinion, but I think those guys gave it everything they had, and they honestly showed up in Philly thinking they were going to win, in my opinion. By the way, we're at Green Tree Tavern in Leesburg for a live show from 2 to 6:30 this Friday if you want to come hang out. All right, let's step away so we are ready for the press conference when it begins at the top of the hour with Peters and Quinn, GM and head coach, looking ahead to the offseason, debriefing after the loss yesterday. You'll hear it right here on The Fan.